And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is the Reverend Dr. Al Baker. Pastor Al, it's great to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Dan. It's always good to be with you. I always enjoy our time together.
We record these ahead of time, and today is just one day ahead of time of its airing. As I'm recording this, we have one set of grandchildren upstairs. One is a toddler, and they span up to about, 8 years old, something like that, four children. And these children are precious to us. We don't want to see them harmed in any way, shape, or form. Of particular interest is their spiritual growth, and we often pray that they grow up to be men and women of God. You wrote an article in your recent weekly devotional, Forget None of His Benefits, that's titled Selling to Five-Year-Olds. Can you explain to our listeners what was on your heart here, Pastor Al?
Yes. Now, I'm not really a connoisseur of pop culture, okay, Dan? But some things you can't miss. For example, I remember when Miley Cyrus came on the scene. Maybe some of the folks listening remember she was Hannah Montana on a Disney Channel. And she was the sweet little girl who was the girl next door, had a heart of gold and so forth. And if you follow her at all today, she's just off the chart nasty. I mean, she's been on Rolling Stone magazine talking about taking ecstasy and marijuana and on and on and on it goes. And then you look at Taylor Swift, who is very much in the news today. And I remember reading maybe 10 years or so ago when she kind of hit the scene that she was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah said, "Oh, I understand you have a new boyfriend." And she blushed. She was embarrassed. And now she's just very, very edgy. She's got her left-wing politics going. And if you really look back at all of these childhood stars, sooner or later, they get edgy.
Yes.
And sometimes even worse, like Britney Spears is another good example. She's been in the news over the last few years with drug problems and marriage breakups and getting arrested and so forth. And so I guess, I started thinking about this. I said, well, why is that? Is this just a coincidence? And then I realized, no, it's not a coincidence. This is a planned program by marketers.
Yes, yes. I'll tell you, that aggravates me to no end when the marketers misuse our free market system without any Christian conscience. And they don't care if people die. And in this case, if little girls get perverted and become something that is far less than what God would have for them had they stayed on the straight and narrow, it breaks a parent's heart also when they realize, oh, I shouldn't have let my son or daughter go down that path. So let's talk about that a little bit now.
Yes, and so what happens is with these rock stars, okay, so they at first are very nice, the girl next door, all that sort of thing. And that's by design because the marketers know that they can appeal to young children, age five or even younger sometimes.
Yeah, that's scary.
So they say, "Oh, mommy, I want to go to a Taylor Swift concert." And so the mom checks things out because she's sort of the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper to the family, sure, entertainment and so forth. And so she goes, "Oh, wow, she's a sweet, wholesome young lady. Yeah, like her music doesn't have any problems. Yeah, well, yeah, let's go." So, mama takes 5-year-old or 8-year-old, 10-year-old daughter or son to the Taylor Swift concert. And they all like it, and so they buy the music, and they buy the shirts and the hats and all that sort of thing. But then marketers also realize that by the time kids are going through puberty, at sometimes they rebel against their parents, or at the very least, they want to be independent of their parents. They don't want their parents necessarily telling them what to do. Oh, I jokingly say that I look at some of our grandchildren who are now in their teens, and I used to say, oh, he's such a sweet boy. I hate to see him go through puberty. We sort of laugh about it because they do change, you know. I mean, their emotions are and their hormones are raging and so forth. So it's definitely a change. And marketers know that. And so they know that they've got to remake their stars.
Yes.
And so Taylor Swift gets edgy. And Britney, who claimed to be a Christian and a virgin early on in her career, is just gone off the deep end, and Miley Cyrus the same way. And they all seem to end up that way, and it's by design, because the last thing a teenager wants is for their, I hate to say this, but generally speaking, but for their mom or dad to approve of their music.
Yes.
They wanna do their own thing, and marketers know that, and so they remake these women, or guys for that matter, they remake them into some hard, you know, hard, difficult person. And that's what sells.
Yeah, so true. And we're talking today with Pastor Al Baker about his article, Selling to Five-Year-Olds. And dear parent or grandparent, you may think that, oh, the child is still young. I don't have to worry about people trying to sell to him or her. But that's not really the case. Now, these parents, and I'm including myself here and grandparents, we can be deceived into trying to give things to our children or grandchildren because we, quote, love them. But some of the things we give them is actually damaging to them, considering how young they are.
Yeah, because at that age, they're obviously they're very impressionable, and they're learning very rapidly. One kind of funny illustration I would give is when I was 10 years old, I could tell you every single football player for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I could tell you. I remember vividly watching these games, and now, you know, you get older, it's like I can't remember who's on the team or anything like that. And the point is that kids, their minds are a steel trap, and they're picking up things, and they're getting impressions, and we need to be very careful that we guard what goes into their minds. I remember also maybe 30 years ago when I was in South Africa doing some preaching, and I was staying with a family there whose kids were very young, and I thought to myself, these kids are so innocent.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about what's going on in the world. And I thought, that's a good thing.
It is.
Because sooner or later, they're going to find out. But why not shelter them as long as you possibly can from all the corruption? And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, kids see things that they don't need to see, like at school. And we all know how easy it is to get pornography on an iPhone.
That's right.
And I shudder to think about that. I tell my grandsons, especially, I said, somebody sooner or later is going to show you an image. I said, don't look at it.
That's right.
Don't even go there. Because I said, I'm going to tell you something. Once you go there, it's addictive.
Yes.
And it affects your brain.
It affects your brain, is right.
You know, absolutely. So, you know, we've got to be very, very careful about what we allow our kids to watch, for sure.
Yeah. Well, this is a big deal, and again, parents think that they're helping their child by giving them a tablet early or giving them an iPhone early, and then it's not that the device itself is wicked, but it's what you can get on it that is wicked. Mm-hmm. And the parents, if you're going to do that, make sure the child is older, but there's got to be boundaries, because children, like you say, Al, are very impressionable. You mentioned someplace in your article there was a study done or something, the number of hours a child spends doing this stuff. Do you remember any of that?
Yeah. So my friend Ted Baer, who is a Heads Up movie guide, he's an amazing man who's had a tremendous impact in Hollywood. I mean, look, Hollywood's still bad, but it used to be a lot worse than it is. And he's had a great impact out there and in convincing executives, look, I'm for you. I want to see you make money. And the way you make money is have family-oriented business.
That's right.
Movies. And he proves it. He proves it statistically.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, in one of his books, he writes that this is pretty sad. He said, the average child spends 21 minutes a day in direct conversation with his parents.
21 minutes.
Only. And he will spend 8 to 10 hours a day on social media platforms like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And we know that these platforms are selling, they're grooming all our children. Here's another thing, Dan, to think about. And I would ask your listeners to observe their children sometime. Next time your child is watching a television program or a YouTube video or whatever, ask yourself, what are they doing? And the answer is, they're not doing anything. And that's the problem.
Yes.
They're not thinking. They're not using critical thinking skills. At best, only two senses are being used, you know, hearing and seeing. They are not engaging. They are being passive. And children need to have interaction. They need to read. They need to discuss things. They need to talk with people. Another really sad thing is when you go to a restaurant sometime, watch a family of four or five as they're waiting on the food.
Mm-hmm.
Almost on every occasion, mom and daddy are on their iPhones, and 12-year-old Sally and 15-year-old Jay are also on their cell phones.
You know, Al,
cell phones.
I've noticed that, and I wasn't trying to look for it or anything. It just stood out like a sore thumb, how that families that want to be together are really not together. They're in this kind of fake world of some distant friend they've probably never even seen, and texting back and forth and all of this. And the family structure is being inadvertently attacked by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of my good friends was in one of our churches in the past, texted me yesterday after she read the article. She really liked it. She said, I got to tell you, she's got teenagers. She said, raising children today is with all the social media is brutal.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say this, that parents need to be the guardians. I mean, really, does a 14 or 15-year-old really need a cell phone?
Nah.
Is that really necessary? Now, I get it today that it's good to be in communication with your children. Well, get them a flip phone or an iPhone,
yes.
But you take off the possibilities of the internet and so forth.
Yeah.
Just let them, you know, use it for phone calling calls. But I think parents have got to take the bull by the horns on this one and do what they can to limit their children. Like we have some friends whose kids are extremely bright. And like 1600 on the SAT and all that sort of thing, really smart kids, and they would limit their children's screen time. They
smart.
Could watch videos or whatever 1 hour a day. That was it. The rest of the time, go out and play, practice your music, you know, play your sport, talk to your friends, something. 1 hour a day. That's it. And because, again, it's not – this kind of thing is not developing the mind.
No.
It's passive, and kids need to interact. Kids need to be outside playing. I remember one time I was talking to my middle son. His boys were like, you know, 8 and 10 years old and down. I said, hey, what are you boys up to today? He said, they're playing. That's their job.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. That's all I got to worry about, you know, during the summer. Just go play.
One of the best gifts you can give your children is a big pile of dirt.
That's right.
They go out there with their little shovels and toys and trucks and everything and running through it.
It's amazing.
They just love dirt.
Yeah, they do.
You know what? When I was a boy, I can remember Pastor Al being in my dad's and mom's basement, and I had a little chemistry kit and I started doing some experiments and whatnot with electrical things, trying to build a motor. And it's a wonder I didn't blow their house up, but we
I was getting ready to say
had a lot of fun. I looked up how to I finally found out how to make gunpowder, and boy, that's getting dangerous then. But it was good. It was all good. We didn't blow the house up. Nothing happened like that.
But experimenting,
it takes a lot of time, and I wasn't involved in some of this other messy, ugly activity. I was a sinner. I needed the Lord, but it kept me out of a certain circle of influence, which itself was helpful.
Yeah, and I remember when our oldest son was about 12, there was house construction going on behind our house. So he went over one day and he started picking up scraps of lumber like plywood and nails and so forth. Next thing you know, he's building a treehouse in our yard. I mean, this was a major project. He got on a construction hat. He had a belt on his, tool belt, on and on and on it goes. And
I love it.
We had some friends. Yeah, we had some friends visit. And as they pulled up in the driveway, my friend said, "Now, boy, stay in the car. I got to see what the Baker boys are up to first."
That's a good one.
They're building stuff. They're using saws, hammers. Yeah. Wait, hold on just a second. Let's see what's going on. But that's exactly what kids need to do. And and we've got a little granddaughter. She loves to play with dolls. Nobody told her to do that.
No.
And the little boys like to play with guns. That's just the way I don't know how they figured that out.
They're being themselves. Yeah. It's the way God has made us. One thing I wish I had gotten into more when I was a boy was sports. I wasn't big on sports. I loved ping pong. I loved handball. But the other sports, the more exotic sports, I wish I'd gotten into it. But I think you got into sports. How did that affect your life, Pastor Al?
Yeah, I sure did. My father was a minor league baseball player. He played with the Red Sox organization. He never made it to the major leagues. He says, "My problem was I couldn't hit the curveball." I said, "Well, that was a lot of people's problem." But anyway, so I grew up playing baseball and basketball and football and so forth. And I was able to get a full athletic scholarship to the University of Alabama, where I played for 4 years and had a chance to play professional baseball as well. And then my kids all played in high school and college. My grandsons and my granddaughters, too, for that matter, play. And to me, the good thing about it is, regardless of how far they go with it, whether they quit when they're 10 years old or 18 years old or whatever, it's a good discipline.
Yeah.
It's learning how to be a team player. It's learning how to win gracefully, lose gracefully, and it keeps them busy. One time, one of our friends said, "How did you keep your kids away from pornography?" Now, again, it was easier back then because we didn't have cell phones and internet and all that. But I said, "Wow, that's a good question." I started thinking about it. I said, "Well, wait a second. They get up early to go to work out before school. Then they got school. Then they got practice. Next thing you know, they're home at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, have a quick dinner. They're too tired to look at stuff like that." they didn't have time.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I really think you have to keep them busy, and it doesn't have to be sports, but it needs to be something. And I think parents need to find out, what is it that my child really likes to do? Because they'll like something. Might be computers, learning to put. It might be mechanical. Well, whatever it is, really get behind them and encourage them in that.
That's right. When I was a boy, my dad encouraged me in the direction of amateur radio and building things and doing that, and then later on in broadcast radio. But I can think of another thing that we did as a family growing up with our children, and that was 4-H, and we got some animals and just had a small, I wouldn't even call it a farm. We just had some chickens. One few years we had rabbits. We were raising meat rabbits and selling them to a local farmer. One year we raised 3 market lambs, and these kids learned tremendous life skills. You talk about discipline. They got chores every single day. You got to make sure the animals are okay. They have to present before others during 4-H. That's when, the days before 4-H, some of them became more woke. But it was a very good 4-H group that we had in those days. And it was so good for the children. It really kept them busy. And And even to this day, all of our kids love animals and love farm aspects as well as their callings in life. So.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think if you look around the country, it's fascinating to me that the more conservative, generally speaking, I know there's some exceptions, but the more conservative, family-oriented, hardworking people are people who live on land,
yeah,
or have access to land. It's amazing. And I think part of it is, especially a farmer, whether he knows it or not, whether he's a Christian or not, he's absolutely dependent upon God.
Amen.
And of course, what I mean by that is he has to plant his crop at the right time, and he needs water at the right time, and he doesn't need too much of it at the wrong time. It's got to be just right.
Yes.
And sometimes their crops fail, and sometimes they have a bumper crop, but I think they have to instinctively realize their lives and their livelihood are not in their own hands. They're in the hands of God. And I think that's a good place for everybody to be.
Yeah.
Because we really are, every one of us are, one step away from great difficulty, and God watches over us and God protects us. I was working with a young man right now, evangelistically, trying to see him come to Christ. And I was meeting with him the other day, and I said, listen, if you will seek after God, if you will obey him, he will track you down and he will bless you over
Amen.
The long haul of your life. I'm not saying you're not going to have difficult times. Everybody does. But if you will simply obey God, get a job, go to work, and so forth. And I used to tell my kids when they started working in their professions, I said, look, show up on time, work a full day, do your job, and you will succeed.
Yes.
And I said, here's why you succeed, because so few people actually do that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true.
And you will rise to the top.
Yep. And be available whenever your boss needs you. Answer his
exactly.
email, answer his phone call, be there. Try to help him, try to make him successful, and without realizing it, you will make yourself successful.
That's exactly right. And it's all about being a servant. And Jesus told us that we're to serve and not to be served. And that's one of the best ways. And I used to tell my kids, your job is to make your boss look good. Your job is to make your company prosperous. And of course, in an honest way, that's what you're supposed to do. And if you do, you will be rewarded for that in due time.
Now, these articles that you write is part of this Forget None of His Benefits. They come out every week. I would encourage our listeners to look you up online. Just do a search for Forget None of His Benefits, Al Baker, and you'll be directed to the website where you can sign up and get this mailing. I think it comes out every Thursday. Pastor Al is a great guy, and he's willing to exchange emails. He's very busy, but he will fit you in. And he's also ordained in the Vanguard Presbytery, and he's been in the gospel ministry for over 35 years. He's based in Birmingham, Alabama, and he serves as an evangelist with Reformed Evangelistic Fellowship. So he's a great contact for you, dear listener. Look him up. Again, Forget None of His Benefits, Al Baker. Al, closing thought in the next minute or two.
Well, I think that we all want the best for our children and our grandchildren. They're precious. We love them. But they need to be born again. We're all Amen. Born with this rebellious heart that hates God and loves sin. We all are. It sounds kind of crass, but it's true. We're born that way. And so the one thing, Dan, that my wife and I always pray for our grandchildren now is that they would be born again.
Amen.
That God would take out the rebellious heart and give them the heart of Jesus that loves God and hates sin. Mm. And I say all the time to the Lord, I say, Lord, they're good kids, they're smart, they do well in school, they're good athletes and so forth, they got a lot of friends, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is they be born again, and that's really, really all we're concerned about.
Yeah.
That they will be in heaven with us one day. And that's the most important thing. So your listeners just need to always pray for your children and grandchildren to be born again. Don't assume that because they were baptized as infants or as 12 years old or whatever, that they're necessarily Christians. You see it in their lives as time goes on.
Yes.
Very, very important.
By their fruits, you'll know them. Well, Pastor Al, thank you so much for spending your precious time with our listeners today. And we do trust and pray that God blesses your work, particularly in evangelism, and blesses your wife, Winnie, I believe it is, and blesses your grandchildren and your children. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure, Dan. God bless you and your listeners as well.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.